Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read a bit from verse 23. The theme is still when Jesus comes to town. The title this morning, When Jesus Comes to Town, Miracles Happen. This morning I'm going to share on specifically miracles pertaining to how Jesus seen or did his miracles. And then the next time, the apostles and the disciples. Originally, I was sort of going to go half and half this morning, but there was so much, it's such a wide, expansive area that I've decided to break up into two. The last couple of weeks, we have been sharing that when Jesus came to town, he came with a positive proclamation. A proclamation that things are going to change. A proclamation of hope. A proclamation of the Holy Spirit. A proclamation that the blind eyes would open, that the year of the Lord's favor is here, that captives would be set free. And if you read the progression from Matthew chapter 4, from verse 17, for the ministry of Jesus begins as a progression of this. He came preaching the good news, and then he gathered his disciples, and then he won the crowds. If you've got titles in your Bibles, mine goes like this, The Ministry of Jesus Begins. And then it begins preaching. And then there's another title, The First Disciples. And the last time we shared that the number one priority for us is to come follow him. It wasn't to fish for the people. And we make that mistake in church life that our focus becomes on how we going to win the people. But the priority was this, come follow me. And I will show you how to fish for people. And that should excite us, that it isn't up to us. We are in agenda or ideas or wisdom or education to fish for the people, but we can rejoice as that we follow Christ. He shows us how to get the people. And we don't want to make that mistake. And this is why the heart so far this year is, are we devoting ourselves to Jesus? Are we becoming disciples? And we can rejoice as we become disciples that Jesus gives us the mandate and the strategy of how to get the unbelievers believing. So it's exciting. It should excite us. Our priority is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I've got to read for Matthew 4, 23. You quote again, the theme is now as well, as Jesus is coming to town, he's also training his disciples on how to fish for people. So the journey is beginning. Jesus says, come follow me, listen to me, hear from me, learn from me, and I will show you how to fish for people. So we then get this theme that as Jesus comes to town, he is also training his disciples on how to fish for people. So here and hereafter, Jesus is now teaching them continually, this is how you fish for people. This is how you get people saved, basically. Are you with me so far? Do you want to read on? Okay. Jesus traveled through the region of Galilee. Jesus has came to town, and he's unrestricted, and he's traveling. And he says, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed, not just some, not just a little, not just the major or minor things. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Jesus is showing his disciples how you get the people. News about him spread as far as Syria. A weekend fair is going on in Syria the day, a focal point of war or terror. But news about Jesus traveled as far as Syria. We need to claim it. That news about Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the love of Jesus, that this war-torn place called Syria, news about Jesus will travel to Syria, spread as far as Syria. And the people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. So Jesus turns up, starts healing everybody that came to him, and then people start to think, hold on, news about this miracle worker is spreading. So if news about this miracle worker is spreading, and you've got a sick son, a sick daughter, or you're indeed sick yourself, how are you going to react? It says that now the people, after news was spreading that this miracle worker was here, soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, whatever, if they were demon-possessed, spiritual problem, epileptic, paralyzed, mental problem, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. This is Jesus training his disciples. How do you fish for people? So he gathered his disciples and then went to the crowds and left a trail of miracles. And then people started to come to Jesus with their problems, with their issues, whether it's demonic, which is spiritual, whether it's epilepsy, which is mental, whether it's sickness, disease, physical. Jesus healed everything. And news about him spread everywhere. When Jesus comes to town, everything hiss to goot the why that is contrary to the love and to the goodness and to the grace of Jesus Christ. It's such a privilege to be able to preach this in a church that does believe in miracles and does believe in signs and wonders and healings. And I believe we should pursue these things because God is a good God. And I want the crowds to be one for Jesus. I want to be trained well. And in Jesus' journey, he says, come, I'm going to show you. And then the very next portion of scripture is, everybody got healed. Many people just got up and went to follow Jesus and they healed everything. I want to be in that sort of Jesus training. I want to be in that category of discipleship. And miracles sometimes and signs and wonders and healings has got the term skeptical attached to it. But you look through scripture and you see how Jesus moved in signs and wonders and miracles. In terms of fishing for people, I'm not the greatest fisherman in the world. I once went on a fishing holiday with my dad to Yarmouth, and we just went to lakes. And we used to use different type of bait depending on what fish he was trying to catch. And I remember vaguely it was, for some reason, sweet corn or flavored sweet corn. I used to go to the local fish bait person and buy strawberry sweet corn. I don't care why fish would like that. But bait was this, you put on the hook, and if you didn't have bait, you was just casting your hook down and hoping beyond hope, really, a fish would think, oh, hook, I'll just fancy a hook for breakfast. Doesn't it work, does it? But you use bait, and it's got to be something that is attractive to the fish to hook him in. Now, I can't that signs, wonders, and miracles, that's not a full explanation. Because God's a good God. He's not trying to catch our moo and cause us pain. But you got to see that the miraculous, that as Jesus healed every disease, as Jesus healed every torment, he was putting bait down to fish for people. This generation, this unbelieving generation that we now walk life with, walk shoulders with, we should be open to use only bit possible through the power of Jesus to hook him into safety, should we? And if Jesus used signs and wonders and miracles and healings and he used the impossible to get people to come to him so he could share love and teaching and give them the question, will you believe in me? Should the church be open to that today? Are we open to see that this is bait, this is good bait that people would be interested in? Because people, though we think they might question heaven and hell, they're questioning how do we overcome depression? They're questioning how do we help my poor and sick child? They're questioning how come I have to take these pills every night to get to sleep? They're questioning on fit as a root of depression. Why do I go about life feeling so hopeless, so downtrodden? Cancers, diabetes, all these things, asthma. People are living with these things on a daily basis, and it's causing them discomfort and pain. How would it look if the church was to fully invest and believe that God is a good God that wants to heal and set a standard that we will continually believe for the impossible, when even though it looks impossible, we will continue to believe that God can turn that situation, a ruin, to the glory of His name? You imagine just for a second that this scripture was fulfilled, not in Galilee, but in Fraserburgh, in St. Combs, in Balgar, in Rosarty, in St. Heaven, the far-reaching areas. It says that Jesus came to town and He moved through the church. He's only why I'm moving to reach communities. He's ordained the church. You imagine it says that Jesus came to town and everybody got healed. A demon possession. Or no demons in the northeast of Scotland, those are. Why are you trying to kid? Come on. Every sickness, every disease, every mental torment, Jesus healed it all. You imagine for a second, every addiction, everything of darkness, everything that brought death, every cancer, every tumor, every asthmatic, every disabled, every epileptic. You imagine for a second that this scripture was declared our rural area. That as Jesus came to town, He healed all, every sick, every disease, every torment. How amazing would that be? How glorious would that be? How hopeful would that be? Do you think then that as if that was to happen, if the church was awakening and we would step into that realm, do you think we'd have something to offer the community? Do you think then it would be like taking the best of bait as we fish for people? Do you think we would just be putting hooks of goodness out there? Hooks of love, hooks of grace, hooks of healing, and that people would say, I really want that. I don't understand yet if you say or if you believe your doctrine, but I do want healed. I do want free of torment. I want free of depression. How amazing would it be to hook His goodness out, hook His grace out. I think this generation, we owe it to this generation to show God's greatness and goodness, to have faith, to believe that God can turn people's situations around, regardless of what the doctors say, regardless of what they say about themselves, and regardless of whether they're a Christian yet or not. You think an unbeliever comes into contact with the greatness and the goodness of the love of God, that they suddenly are free for something that has tormented them for 5 months, 5 years, 50 years. Wow, what a display of grace, what a display of goodness. Amazing. When Jesus comes to town, He puts out bait, He puts out healing, He puts out recovery for sickness, He puts out freedom for torment. Faith. It's got to take faith in Him, faith in His goodness, faith in grace. People get skeptical against faith preachers, don't they? Oh, I'm not faith preachers. You should be skeptical on a preaching that doesn't include on a type of faith to believe and doesn't arouse your faith in Jesus Christ, your hope and your hunger for Him. And I say that with good authority because the scripture declares, without faith it is impossible to please God. So if you're preaching and living a life without faith, you're not pleasing. That come under condemnation. In fact, I'm saying with this is the church and the people of God should arouse with faith, realizing that that is pleasing to God. And we should quickly become skeptical of anything that doesn't require any sort of faith. And you think, oh, that's not really right. Without faith, God isn't pleased. So if it's not pleasing God, why should I be heads over heel rejoicing or truth displayed without faith? But I believe you are here because you have an inward conviction of moving in the impossible. There is other places to go or worship that would require no faith to step into. The fullness of God. There is other places of worship that wouldn't they preach faith or healing or deliverance or revival or glory or miracles. But you are here because I didn't think that sort of stuff would satisfy you. I think you'd get bored quickly. I think you are here because the journey of faith excites you. And if it didn't excite you, you would go somewhere else. But I believe that you are here ordained here because within you, you really want this stuff. You really want to see blind eyes open. You really want to see people saved. You really want to see miracles. And that is why we come here week upon week, rejoicing his goodness and greatness, whether we see the fullness just new or nay. I believe that you are ordained to be here. And if we wasn't to preach faith that you, or we wasn't to get this thing, oh, come on, let's do it, you would get so disgruntled within yourselves, or that's not really why I'm here. That's not really why I come. If I wanted that, I could go somewhere else. There's multiple places to go. But you are here because you see that through signs and wonders and miracles, it's putting bait out to this lost and dying world. And that God is a God that heals. Okay, let's get into it. 37 recorded miracles of Christ. And John writes that he did so much more that there wouldn't be enough room in other libraries in the world to know the full or to record the full written account of the miracles or the teachings that Jesus did. The theme is, all the time, the disciples are on a journey with Jesus showing them how to fish for people. This is the normal people. I wouldn't have picked them. I probably wouldn't have picked me. But this is the people whom God has chosen, the you and the me, the whosoever, the Filipinos, the Sri Lankans, the local people, to fish for people. And all the time, there is this urgency of signs, wonders, and miracles. What does Jesus say about moving in the miraculous? Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 14, verse 11. So Jesus is getting questioned. Why should we follow you? When it shows the Father, he's getting under persecution. And Jesus is responding to the people. And he said, just believe that I am in the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. If you do not believe in me because of what I am saying to you, believe in me because fit you see the work that you see. Fit did the people see? They see a dead Lazarus come out of a grave. They see a blind beggar's sight being restored. They see the demonic set free. So Jesus saying is this, even as though you do not believe that I am the Son of God, take that out of the equation for a second. Look at what is going on around about me in every town that I come to. In fact, it only says that he was only able to do a few miracles at a certain place because they didn't believe in him. But even when they didn't believe in him, he was still able to do a few miracles. And the church needs to grasp us. Jesus is saying, look, it's not, take what I teach and say about myself, the words that I say, the affirmation, take that with the equation, and you will still be able to say that I am the Son of God, the Son of Man, by faith is displayed, by the people getting healed, by the people getting set free. He says it again, John chapter 7, 20. John the Baptist is in that place of doubt. I've written down the wrong scripture there. Take my word for it, it says this. John the Baptist is in a place of doubt. And this is the one that pointed to Jesus and says, He is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. Wow. He then gets put into prison and he starts to doubt and he sends his people to see, have I been in that place of doubt before? You've experienced God miracles and then stuff happens, bad circumstances, and you think, oh, is Jesus really good? Has he really got everything under control? Is he really the Savior? Is he really Lord of all? John the Baptist had this moment, and he sent his disciples to say, look, just make sure I'm in this prison. I can't see or hear anything anymore. Go to Jesus, go to his disciples, and make sure that he is the Messiah. Then Jesus said this when the disciples came to him. John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? At that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go tell them what you've seen. Go tell them what you've heard. Miracles are happening. People are getting set free. People are getting healed. The gospel's being preached. The gospel of good news. These are evidence that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of God. I am the one sent to redeem humanity, to a loving Father. I am the visible representation of the invisible God. Hallelujah. And the evidence is this. Sicknesses are being healed. Diseases are being healed. Demons are being cast out. Wow. Church, we need an awakening. That if people were to come to us and say, I'm not too sure about your FCC theology. I don't believe in your Elam God rubbish. I don't believe what you said about the Trinity. I've got no time for Jesus Christ. The cross is foolishness to me. What have we got to give them? The best doctrine in the world? What is your evidence that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God? Think for a second if we was to be able to answer doubters by, you might not believe what we say. We're not going to send you in a 12-week convince you course. Just look at what is happening here. The blind are starting to see. Deaf ears are opening. We've got a church full of people that used to be oppressed by the devil. And now they're set free. You might not agree with what I'm saying, but these lives being changed are irrefutable. These drug addicts being set free, the oppressed being set free, the sickness is gone. You might not believe what I'm saying, but look at what's happening here. Ah, the time Jesus has shown his disciples, this is how you fish for people. This is how you get them. This is how you get their attention. This is how you get them on board. The Apostle Paul says, it's not just about words. I come just with words. I come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And then he says to the wise, to the mature, I speak the words of counsel, the words of God. But to the, we think miracles is for the spiritually mature. Jesus says, go and get the people. Heal them. See it that they're healed, that their diseases are gone. See it that their oppression, their sleepless nights, the fear they come under, see it, that is cast out. And then the unbelievers become believers. Not everyone, no. We came that Samaritans, we came that people were healed in the Bible and only a few came back to prison. We came this. But it's still good bit, isn't it? If it was good enough for Jesus, is it good enough for us? Some people think, well, that was just Jesus starting his church. It's not for the church. The day Jesus was teaching the church how you get the people. If Jesus used signs and wonders and miracles and we're not allowed to, Jesus cheated, didn't he? If Jesus uses the moving of the miraculous, the healings, the deliverances to win the people, surely a good God wouldn't then go to the church and say, you go try and do what I did, and only got 120 people in an upper room without it. It's near the heart of Christ, is it? It's near the Christ that I can. He came to show us how to fish for people. And if all through Scripture there's 34 recorded miracles of Jesus, many, 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 many more, then I want to use what he used. I want to see the sick set free. I want to see them that are tormented be brought to Jesus. Is there anybody here? You can show your hand because it would really help me. But if your hand remains down, it's now a blight against your name whatsoever. How many here would say, in my lifetime I've seen at least one miracle? Pretty much most. Isn't that amazing? That in our lifetime, as a Christian or not a Christian, could have been before a Christian, as we've said, we have all seen God move in the miraculous. That's why you're here. Jesus said an interesting thing to his disciples, Matthew chapter 16. It was the time after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. They're now in the boat. They went to the other side of the lake. I've got the scripture reference right. You'll be glad to hear. Matthew 16, verse 5, said this. Later after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread. Watch out, Jesus warned them. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They've just seen Jesus moving the miraculous, feeding the 5,000. 12 baskets full left over, and they're now in a boat hungry. They forgot to bring loaf. I would probably fit into that kind of disciple. That would be me. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. You've just seen Jesus bring bread out of nothing, fish out of very little. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he says, you have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 are fed with 5 loaves? The baskets or leftovers you picked up. The 4,000 are fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up. Why can't you understand? They're just talking about bread. And then he says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He opens up this door of learning for the miraculous. He says, have you not learned yet that I did all that previously? You guys were there. I'm trying to show you how to fish for people, and you guys are grumbling that you've got nothing. And I put my hand, I have seen God move in the miraculous, amazing, telling story after story. And for me, you've got to learn as well. In seeing the miraculous, there's a learning curve as well that shouldn't be easily dismissed if we want to see God move in the fullness. Did you learn when God answered your prayer? The miraculous. If I were to say, what did you learn? You would learn, God's a good God. He does heal. He wants to heal. We can that we've prayed for people and haven't been healed, but that time that you responded and said, I have seen God move. God's a real God. Jesus is a resurrected Savior. We need to learn for the miraculous. We can walk away for a miracle and say, okay, well, that's fine, till the next thing. But through me personally, seeing God visibly set people free, visibly heal people, it should increase my faith. The disciples had just seen Jesus feed 4,000, 5,000 with many left over, and now they're grumbling about loaf. Did you learn for your miracle about the greatness, the provision, the heart of Jesus? Or do we walk away for a miracle and start grumbling as though Jesus didn't do nothing? Or did we walk away from that healing and start grumbling as though, oh, I'm so sick. How did you ruin my so sick? Did you see Jesus heal before? Did you learn from your miracle? Did you learn how God answers prayer? Did you learn that God loves people so much he wants to heal them? That nothing is too small or too big for Jesus to deal with? Did we learn from our miracles? The disciples, didn't they learn? And Jesus rebuked them. You've got so much lack of faith. I believe for us people, we need to be learning how to steward, learning how to move in the miraculous. If we want to see effectively this town set free, this town believing in Jesus, we need to learn quickly about the miraculous. And how if God did it back then, and if his provision was good enough back then, when there was 5,000 people needing fed, if his provision was good back then, when there was 4,000 people needing fed, and there was 12 baskets full left over, and I was hoping, and I was skipping, and I was jumping at the goodness of God, if the day after, I've got no loaf, Jesus is the answer. Because if there was 12 baskets full back here, if he fed 5,000 back here and the presence of the Lord was there and everybody was happy, feeding us in a boat while there's nothing is nothing to Jesus. He could do it. We should have rested in him. Go back to your miracle. What did you learn? Did you learn the goodness and the greatness of God that then propelled you deeper into the heart of God, deeper into intimacy with attitude? Or if he broke through then, when I was on my face, I had nothing, I was a useless scumbag, drug addict with nothing. If he loved me then, while I was still yet a sinner, cut off of Christ, if he broke through then my financial problems is nothing to him. If he broke through then, in my family, when I really, really needed him and the need was so great, then this sickness isn't it really nothing to him. For he did the bigness of when I really, really was on my face, fasting and praying. But that should have developed a confidence within us, a boldness within us, to walk in such a way that nothing is now impossible. That God is good. I've learned faith at Hartman back then. He's good. I've learned faith back then. He is faithful. I didn't need to sit in this boat, grumbling with my fellow disciples, my fellow Christians. As Jesus knew, oh, revival will never happen now. Oh, nobody's getting healed like back then. You mind 10 years ago? You mind 20 years ago when the church started? And now we're just a bunch of morning disciples. Did you learn? If you learned, did you learn? Because whatever you learned was supposed to propel you into something greater than 20 years ago. If ever you learned was to propel you into something better than 10, 5 years ago, 5 months ago. Because our God is a God of progression and continual glory upon glory upon glory. If we would just learn that God is a miraculous God. But he never says, whoa, just did a miracle. He's just completely naturally supernatural. And I believe that Jesus, we as disciples, follow me. I'll show you how to fish. We as a church has got to set a stake in the ground and have got to say one of the ways that Jesus shows us how to fish for people is through the moving of the miraculous. And you are here, you are here, and you are here, you are here because that is your gut belief, that is your gut instinct. And we have maybe seen it in the past, but God wants us to take us in to a greater realm. I invite your worship band up. Have we learned that God wants to heal us? That God can heal us? That God has enough power, enough strength, enough gentleness, enough wisdom, enough grace to heal us? Right now, at our point of need, have we learned that? I have learned it. I have walked into some crazy situations, and nothing really can prepare you for it. But when you just trust Jesus because you've learned to trust him, You've learned to rely on his goodness and greatness and love and healing power. It's not about us, it's about him. You put your faith in Christ and you see him moving wise. That does blow your mind. But as you are learning, these things become usual to you. Imagine, and I'm hearing this time and time again, just in people's lives, just God moving in the miraculous, whether it's healing power, whether it's answered prayer, financial, jobs, things like that. I'm just going to ask you to stand. And stand with me. This is, I've displayed the truth. And that should within us, through the Holy Spirit, drive a thirst and a hunger within us to see God move as Jesus comes to town. Miracles happened. But it's not just about words, it's about a display of his power. And so we're going to leave it open that if you are under any torment, whether it be spiritual, physical, or mental, that you would receive prayer today. Because I have learnt that God is a good God. He wants to heal and he really loves you. And regardless whether you fully believe in Christ or you're still a skeptic, he wants to heal you. And by doing so, he'll just reveal his goodness. In Romans it says, through his kindness, he leads people to repentance. And God would show you how kind he is. An overflow of that is coming in a right relationship with him. To be a son, a daughter of God. But if you have a pressing need, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Receive prayer. Very simple. It's not about screaming. It's not about shouting. As Jesus has shown us how to fish for people, it's just declaring. It's saying, rise up and walk when it's impossible to do so. We come into this atmosphere of worship. It's undeniable as we worshiped earlier that Christ was here. But his power is here to heal. I felt so as I was worshiping that somebody just had a excruciating back pain. It's right at the bottom. And it affects your way of walk. Painful, and it was a struggle for you coming here. I believe that Christ is going to set you free and heal you. If you want to respond to that, then you come forward and let me come. But that is not the only declaration going forward. Jesus is here for the whosoever. All the diseases, whatever it was healed. Let's worship. If you're needing prayer, come forward.